two folks. Obviously, he gave his permission to publish them. But C.S. Lewis was a scholar. He was an author, if you're not familiar with him. He was an apologist. He was an atheist turned Christian, and he became an evangelist in his own right. His impact on modern Christianity, I believe, rivals that of even Billy Graham. And yet, listen to what he wrote in a private conversation, a private correspondence concerning his own prayer life. Just in a moment of just sheer honesty. Lewis wrote this. He said, "Prayer is irksome." We don't use that word a lot these days, do we? Can't remember the last time I heard that, but kind of a cool word. "Prayer is irksome." He said, "An excuse to omit it is never unwelcome. We are reluctant to begin. We are delighted to finish. The odd thing is, this reluctance to pray is not confined to periods of dryness." He says, "When yesterday's prayers were full of comfort and God answered them, today's will still be felt in some degree as a burden." I love his honesty. That's probably what I love most about C.S. Lewis. He's not trying to put on any airs. He's not trying to put on any masks of righteousness. He just shares with us the reality of what's on his heart. And I don't know about many of you, but I can sure relate to that. And I'm thankful that he had the courage to write it. For most of us, as I've mentioned, I would venture to say, like C.S. Lewis, prayer can be a challenge. And I say that to say this: if prayer is a challenge for you, as it is for me, quite honestly, then you're in good company. You're in good company, and you're in honest company. But don't set it aside. Keep working at it. I also discovered that C.S. Lewis, although prayer was a challenge to him, and he's so honest about it, C.S. Lewis prayed the Lord's Prayer every single day. But not just a rote prayer. As he prayed it, he personalized it. And he incorporated into it what was going on in his heart and in his life that very day. And so he would walk through, literally, after he became a believer and began to develop his prayer life, he would walk through the Lord's Prayer every single day. It was part of his intentional habit of the day. And he would weave his life, his needs, his requests, the adoration of God, the confession of his spirit, he would weave into the Lord's Prayer. It served for him as a pattern and a pathway to pray God's will. Not just the words of the Lord's Prayer, but allowing the Lord's Prayer to bring what was on his heart and in his life out before the Father. I would encourage you to try that in the coming days. Just pray it one line at a time. Pause. And begin to weave your life and your heart into it. Our Father. God, thank you for being Abba, Father. Thank you for being the one who loves me beyond what I could possibly imagine. Thank you for being omnipotent, all-powerful, all-present. Thank you for all that you are, Father. Thank you for loving me enough to send your Son who art in heaven. Father, sometimes you feel far away. Lord, sometimes you feel distant. Lord, sometimes I feel that my prayer is just bouncing off the ceiling. But Father, I know because your word tells me and your word is true that you are right here, Holy Spirit, with me, amongst us. Hallowed be your name. God, you're holy. And God, I'm not. And I acknowledge that. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for me, even though I didn't deserve it. Begin to weave your heart and your life into that prayer. For our purposes this morning, I want to pick up, if you will, where Those of you who are walking through the 40 days in a small group, where week three left off in that series, I want to pick up with Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me there now, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. You're going to be about a quarter of the way or so through the Lord's Prayer there. And I want to talk this morning, and I want our focus to be just six words. Six words. And those words are the words of Jesus in the midst of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, "Give us today our daily bread." Give us today our daily bread. After acknowledging the fatherhood and the greatness of God in the beginning of his prayer, and surrendering to God's will, his will be done, Jesus instructs us to pray for our own needs. So it's okay to pray for what you need. He says, "Give us today our daily bread." Clearly, Jesus was not telling his disciples to literally and only pray for bread. Bread is a powerful symbol of God's provision in the Old Testament and throughout the entire Bible. Jesus said, if you remember, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am your provision. I am your sustenance. I am your life." During the Exodus, God provided manna. You remember that? For the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, life was difficult. They had been released from bondage. They were wandering around. They were hungry. But God provided manna for them. And the people began to complain that it would be better to be back in Egypt, eating garlic and leeks. At least they knew they had it. In response to their complaints, God promised this manna. He promised to literally, Exodus 16 says, rain bread from heaven. Ultimately a picture of what he would bring in Christ. And the next morning when the dew lifted, the Israelites found on the ground, I quote, "a small round substance as fine as frost. It was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Isn't that cool? How would you like to wake up to that every morning in the front yard and not have to go to the grocery store? Bread from heaven. And each morning the Israelites gathered that manna, and they had just enough for that one day. And at the end of the day, what had been provided that day would spoil, and they had to wait for that provision the next day. Jesus says essentially that that's a picture of our prayer life and God's provision for us each day as we ask Him for that provision, as we ask Him for what we need today. Not tomorrow, but today. I want to share a few prayer points with you this morning that I think we can extract from these just six words in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. First and foremost, pray with others in mind. Pray with others in mind. Prayer is never a solitary endeavor. It may feel like that as Jesus says, you know, go to your closet, close the door, begin to pray. But prayer is really never a solitary endeavor. Jesus said, if you'll notice, "Give us our daily bread." Give us. Not give me my daily bread. Give us our daily bread. It's interesting that as you read through the Lord's Prayer, Jesus uses the plural throughout. Our Father. Give us. Our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us. Deliver us. Why do you think He does that? It's not about you. Not about me. It's about God's will. It's about God's community. It's about God's love for us as His children. Prayer is never a solitary endeavor. I think Jesus is reminding us that as God's children, we're connected to a broader praying community, that prayer is not an island, but it is an ocean flowing with the petitions of all God's people. It's mind-blowing that when we pray, even for our own needs, it impacts other people. And the ripples of that impact and extend into all of eternity. And do you think about that when you pray? It's not just about you. It's not just about what you're praying for there. What we pray for impacts everybody around us. And the changes that God brings about through that impact extend into all of eternity. And it's a big deal. It's not about just reading some words. Jesus reminds us that prayer is never an isolated exercise, that God is daily hearing the prayers of all His people. And through those prayers, He is sovereignly shaping our lives. Man, think about that. It's mind-blowing that God has that much bandwidth to hear the prayers of all those, all of His children, all over the world at one time. You ever heard somebody say, God's got enough on His plate, He doesn't need my problems to add to it? You ever heard that? And I've heard that 1,000 times from folks. You may be that way too. Yeah, God doesn't need to be bothered with me. You know, He's got enough big things to worry about. Let me tell you something. God doesn't have a plate. Seriously. God does not have a plate. God doesn't have a capacity. So, wait, this is too much. Nothing is too much for God. Nothing. He has no plate. He has no capacity. His cup never runs over. God is eternal. God is endless. God stands outside of space and time. God sees your life from beginning to end right now. And that's why when you pray, Scripture tells us that He already knows what you're going to pray, because He's heard you pray it. And He knows what's on your heart. But when we will take the time to present our request to God, we come to Him and we meet Him in that place of intimacy, where our prayers become requests to our Father in heaven. And He loves to receive them. And He loves to answer them. He wants us to share every detail of our lives with Him. And so when you pray, ask Him for what you need. And remember that your prayers are part of the prayers of a broader community. That your prayers impact your family. They impact your friends. They impact your co-workers, your church, communities in Haiti and Guatemala and all over the world. And so pray with others in mind. Give us. And then Jesus said, give us today. Today. Pray with others in mind and pray one day at a time. That's tough, isn't it? God, just give me what I need today. It's hard not to look ahead. It's hard not to pray for the end result. Because that's what we want. We want to get to a certain place. We want a certain outcome. And so we pray in that direction. And Jesus said, pray for what you need today. Today. That His presence would be enough. You know, I've got a bad habit of praying for the end result. You know, I pray my kids would graduate from college. One already has. Thank you, God. I pray my kids would find the right spouse, you know. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with praying in that direction. But Jesus always brings us back to today. Lord, give my kids what they need today to be the person you want them to be. Give them the diligence and the desire to study for that chemistry test. Give them the focus they need to do what they need to do today. Let them be the kind of person that would attract today the spouse that you have for them tomorrow. When we pray one day at a time, we tend to pray more specifically because we're praying about the needs that are right in front of us. Jesus teaches us to pray one day at a time. And later in Matthew 6, he says this. He said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And all God's people said, amen. Pray with others in mind. Pray one day at a time. And finally, pray for what you need. Not just what you want. Give us today our daily bread, what we need. If most of us were honest, I think we'd have to admit that the majority of our prayers have to do with making life easier, making life more comfortable, making life less troublesome. God, take this burden away. Nothing wrong with that. We're called in the Scripture to cast our burdens on Him. We want more good stuff. We want less bad stuff. But you know, God is far more interested in your character than He is your comfort. And when I think about the character that God has developed in me, and I hope there's some of it there, very little of that character was developed in comfortable places. God takes us through the fire to refine us, to burn off of us that which has no likeness to His Son. And many times we want to crawl off that altar as quickly as we possibly can, but God is working there. God is doing something there. He's doing in us and for us what we need oftentimes that we don't even realize we need. He's far more interested in our character than He is our comfort. What uncomfortable situation are you in right now that you wish God would just take away just like that? Let me challenge you to change your perspective on it this morning. Let me challenge you to just kind of tilt that prism a little bit and view it as if God is trying to teach you something. God is trying to develop your character in a new and a different way. And He really, right now, has no desire to take you out of that uncomfortable situation. What He wants you to do is to lean on Him in the midst of it and allow Christ to be present in your life and to be presented through you to others in the midst of it. God wants to provide for our needs, as Rick Warren said, not our greeds. He wants to give us our daily bread, not our yearly allotment. And so when you pray, pray for what you need today. Grace for the moment. More love, more joy, more peace, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness through me, Lord, more gentleness, more self-control, God, today. What we need most is Him. Him. Every single day, regardless of what our circumstances are. Not more stuff. Not different circumstances, not perfect kids. We need His empowering presence in our lives to change us into the likeness of His Son, regardless of our circumstances. And when we begin to pray in that direction, Paul gives us a beautiful promise in Philippians 4. He said, "And my God, our God, will meet all your needs, according to His riches in glory." After the Korean War ended, South Korea was devastated, left with a huge number of orphans. And so relief agencies came into South Korea to help with the children, many of whom were on the verge of starvation. It was a desperate situation. I read an account recently from a relief worker who was there at the time, and she said that even though the children were given three meals a day once they arrived, they were restless and anxious at bedtime and had trouble sleeping. And as they talked to the kids, they figured out that they were anxious because they were worried they wouldn't have enough food for the next day because they had been living that way for so long. And so to help them rest, they decided to put a small piece of bread in each child's hand at bedtime, not to be eaten, but to be held as a reminder that their needs would be met the next day. And that simple reminder calmed the children down and allowed them to sleep peacefully. What are you worried and anxious about today? I want to challenge you, before you go to bed tonight, look back on what God has given you today and hold a piece of that as a reminder that He will meet your needs tomorrow. Pray with others in mind. Pray one day at a time, and pray for what you need. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You that You are the God of all provision. Lord, that You love us, that You desire to give us absolutely everything that we need, even beyond our wildest imagination, Your Word tells us, that we can and should come to You and ask for great and wonderful things, Father, that are in the context of Your will. And Lord, I pray today as we continue to seek Your heart in prayer through these 40 days, that You would transform our hearts, that You would do something within us, Father. Connect us in a more intimate way to You, to who You are. Draw us, Father, into a deeper, richer, more beautiful relationship with You. And Father, help us to focus, Lord, on becoming like Jesus. Not on taking things away or gaining things into our lives, but becoming the most precious thing that You desire for us to become, and that is the likeness of Your Son. And I pray that prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen.